Church, that brings us up to our third objective and our objective for tonight. Because Jesus is Lord, he must be obeyed. Turn your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1. The subtitle for tonight's message is The Good Master. The Good Master. Because Jesus is Lord, he must be obeyed. What does it mean to obey? To obey means to submit to the authority of another. To obey means to submit to the authority of another. It means to subject oneself to the control of another. To subject oneself to the control of another. So when you consider this definition of obey, to submit to the authority of another, what does it really mean to obey Jesus? See, obeying Jesus is a little bit more than what we think. We think that obeying Jesus is if I'm pretty good. If I act pretty good, well, I'm pretty obedient. But this word obey means to submit to the authority of another. So that means that obeying Jesus requires first that his authority be acknowledged. If I'm going to obey Jesus, I first have to acknowledge his authority. Well, what is authority? If you have authority, it means that you have the right and the ability to determine, control, direct, or command. If you have authority, you have the right and the ability to determine, control, direct, and command. See, obedience is more than what we think. I must first acknowledge that because Jesus is Lord, he has the right and the ability to determine the scope, aim, and purpose of my life. I have to acknowledge that because he is Lord, in other words, because he created me, because he is the master and ruler of all things, he has the right and he has the ability to determine the scope, aim, and purpose of my life. I must acknowledge that he has the right and the ability to direct my life. In other words, I have to acknowledge that Jesus has the right to tell me what to do. Amen. Obedience starts there. And once I acknowledge his authority, once I acknowledge the fact that Jesus has every right to tell me what to do, then I submit. And I submit to his complete and absolute control. That's what obedience is. Submission to the authority of another. Church, Jesus must be heard, trusted, and then obeyed. But see, before we go demanding obedience from the unbeliever, the first question that we must ask is, how obedient am I? See, because when we don't ask that question, when we go after the unbeliever and you need to do this and you need to do that, we just come across as hypocrites. Or we come across as condescending. We're looking down on somebody else. But before I demand obedience from someone else, I have to first ask the question, how obedient am I? Do I remind myself daily that my life belongs to Jesus? Do I remind myself daily that he has the right to direct me and that he has the right to require things of me? And do I submit fully to his control? See, we recognize that God is a prayer answering God. He's a good God. He's a way maker. We recognize all those wonderful things, but do I recognize that he is Lord over my life? That daily I have the obligation to submit to his control. See, that's what we did when we first came to the altar. When we came to the altar and gave our life to Christ, we heard the gospel preached. We trusted in what we heard, and we acknowledged Jesus's lordship over us. And because our lives were so broken, we ran to him and we yielded. We were desperate. We said, Lord, I give up. Lord, take control of my life. How many of us said that when we went to an altar? God, take control of my life. God, I've wrecked my life. I can't do anything with my life. Use my life. Take control of my life. We gladly submitted to his authority, crying there at the altar. And in those early days of salvation, we rushed to submit to him. We ran to obey him. Whatever we heard God say, we wanted to do it, and we wanted to do it right then. God, if you tell me to do this, I'm going to do it. If you tell me to do that, I'm going to do it. We were excited to obey. Why? Because we understood that he was Lord over our lives, and we gave ourselves up to him. But then something happened along the way. Somewhere along the way, we all became respectable Christians. And the pain of our sin life started to subside. And after the pain of our sin life started to subside and our lives became more settled, we start feeling good about ourselves. We start feeling proud of who we were. You know, I have a suit. I have a Bible. I go to church. I'm a respectable Christian. And as time went on, we started to look at what God did for us as if we had done it for ourselves. You know, the longer you are removed from that altar experience, the easier it is to think that over the years of my Christian walk, I have been righteous. I have been holy. I have walked with the Lord. It's not God, it's me. I decided to change my life. I decided to give up the old way. I decided enough was enough. I don't remember the fact that God drug me to the altar, kicking and screaming, and I gave in because I didn't know what else to do. Somewhere along the line, we become respectable Christians, and we have great respect for ourselves. And so what happens is we settle down into our own righteousness. And God is no longer the focus of our attention. We come to church. We lift up holy hands. We sometimes even read our Bibles. But he is not really the focus because I am settled in my own righteousness. So I stop measuring myself up against the word. I start forgetting the fact that Jesus has right and claim over my life. And so I start measuring myself against myself. I start measuring myself against my own thoughts, measuring myself against my own desires, my own opinions. And if I think it, that's what it is. See, I enjoy church. I come when I can. I give when I want. I do what I want, when I want, how I want it. Doesn't matter what I've been taught. Doesn't matter what I'm being taught. I see things my way, and if I see it a certain way, that's the way it is. Sometimes, even while I'm teaching, in our minds, we're saying, I'm not doing that. I know. You're not fooling me. I'm not doing that. That's just pastor. No, that's why I preach the word. I don't preach opinion. I don't preach my opinion. So it's not me, it's what the word says. But we get rooted in our own righteousness. And while we say that Jesus is Lord, we act like we're Lord. God, I can take it from here. I got this now. We have forgotten that he has the right and ability to direct and control every area of our life. And so we're not completely submitted to him like we once were. Amen. We have pulled away from his lordship. And let me tell you what happens when we do that. We become stuck and stagnant. What do I mean by that? Because I am so convinced that I am just fine, that there is nothing wrong with me. All those things that are in my life that are messing with me, messing with the quality of my life, messing with the character of my life, I don't deal with them. Why? Because I'm fine. It's never me. See, I'm fine. It's him. I'm fine. It's her. I'm fine. It's y'all. It's not me. So I'm not willing anymore to allow Jesus to correct areas of my life that need to be corrected. So I used to grow. But now I have issues that are unresolved. There was a time where my life was getting better and better by the day, by the week, by the month. But now I find myself struggling with the same old problems over and over, the same failings over and over, the same insecurities over and over, the same incorrect thinking, the same setbacks, all the same stuff over and over in my life. There are these little hills in my life. I just can't seem to get up and over them. But you can't tell me any of it's my fault because I'm all right. Church, Jesus is Lord. He must be obeyed. Let's read Colossians chapter 1. We're going to start at verse 15. Paul was writing to the church at Colossae. And this church, like many other churches at the time, started to stray from the basic truth of the gospel. And they started to try to add on to their faith. And Paul was writing to them to let them know, no, you are complete in Jesus. And I want to remind you of who Jesus is. So he starts off in chapter 1 praying for them and reminding them of what God did by sending Jesus, his son. And so we pick up in verse 15. He says, who, meaning Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things. And by him, all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. These verses of scripture, Paul is talking about who Jesus is. He is saying Jesus is the image of God. He's the image of an unseen God. When he says that he is the firstborn, he's not saying he is a created being. That word firstborn also means one who has preeminence. He is preeminent over all things. In other words, he is over all of creation. Because by him, that is through him, everything was created. That means that by Jesus, everything was produced out of nothing. Whether those things are in heaven, whether they are on earth, whether they are visible to the naked eye or invisible, he created everything. He created angelic beings. He created the seat of power and authority. Whatever is made, he made it. Everything was created by Jesus and for Jesus. See, this is a verse of scripture not too many people read. Jesus created all things and they were created for him. That is, he made us for his benefit. We belong to him. And he has a right to direct and control our lives because he created us for himself. And he is before, that is, prior to all created things. Before anything came to be, Jesus was. Through him,